I'm Jonathan Baker, a writer in Canyon, Texas, and I've been asked to talk a little bit about Ogallala Blue by William Ashworth. It's the latest selection in the HPPR Radio Readers Book Club. The book concerns the vast body of groundwater that exists beneath the feet of High Plains residents. The Ogallala is sometimes referred to as an underground ocean, though it's more akin to a sponge made of permeable rock and silt. When you pass those center pivot sprinklers spraying water over cornfields in Kansas or cotton fields in Texas, that water is being pulled directly out of the Ogallala. The aquifer is responsible for all those emerald green lawns in front of the tract houses in southwest Amarillo. And if the courthouse square in your town is as green as an Irish clover field, you can thank the Ogallala. In my hometown, when I visit the campus of West Texas A&M University, my alma mater, I'm often struck by how green the lawns are, as if I've stumbled onto the quad of some hoary New England liberal arts college. When I was at WT, I studied the American West with professors like Bonnie McDonald and Alex Hunt. And one of the passages we went back to again and again was penned by the Western American novelist and naturalist Wallace Stegner. It's an essay entitled Thoughts in a Dry Land. Stegner begins his essay with a basic primer about how to understand the West. Quote, "You have to get over the color green," he says. "You have to quit associating beauty with gardens and lawns. You have to get used to an inhuman scale. You have to understand geological time." High Plains people have always taken pride in their adaptability. But in many ways, we have not adapted to our environment. Rather, we have forced our environment to adapt to our outside notions of what a civilized land ought to look like. In the early 20th century, High Plains sodbusters converted what was once the greatest grazing land in the world into dryland farms, loosening up the soil and unleashing the dust bowl. To prevent another catastrophe, denizens of the High Plains doubled down on their efforts by tapping into the Ogallala and once again converting this dry land into a verdant garden, the nation's breadbasket. That worked just fine for half a century. But the Ogallala is a limited resource, and the water won't last. No matter how much High Plains farmers tinker with low-energy precision technology and subsurface drip irrigation, the water is eventually going to dry up. I keep thinking of that lyric from James McMurtry's Level Land, one of the truly great songs about this region. Quote, "Daddy's cotton grows so high, sucks the water table dry. Rolling sprinklers circle round, bleeding it to the bone," close quote. We're bleeding this land to the bone. We need to get over the color green. For me, the Ogallala has always been something lingering at the back, or should I say at the bottom of my mind, something like Jung's collective unconscious. I find myself thinking about it at odd times, this massive vessel beneath us, a dwindling wellspring that connects us all but that we rarely acknowledge. We're going to have to find a new way to live on the plains, whether that means dry land farming, no-till farming, or returning to a grazeland economy. I don't know. What I do know is that it's going to mean asking some honest questions about who we are and where we live. In Chapter 22 of Ogallala Blue, the geologist Ray Brady tells the author, quote, "I think it's hard to find anything that's absolutely black or white in real life. To me, you have to evaluate performance and ask, are we doing the right thing?" Close quote. I'm no geologist. I studied English in school. But for me, the first questions we have to ask have to be, what is the High Plains? How do we live in a way that reflects our status as flatlanders? And how do we stay true to the land beneath our feet? I'm Jonathan Baker.